Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today we're going inside episode 163, How to Get Unstuck. So David, in this episode, first of all, welcome. We don't realize how impactful our power to choose can be. And you said that right out of the gate. And the role that choice plays in us getting unstuck. Can you remember a time early on when you may have first become aware of the power of choice and how that sort of changed the way you approach things? Because I think people out there really like to know, you know, your story and how you navigated it from the beginning.
You know, what's interesting is that the realization that I had about a choice that I made, I had already made a lot of significant choices, but it was this very specific incident where somebody was pushing back on me on about if I made a mistake. Now, I already started the business. I was doing relatively well, and I was attempting to grow. And this person was really pushing back. And they were coming from the place of how do I know the direction that I'm going is going to work? And I don't know. I mean, I know that it's going to work in one way or another. I don't know how that's going to happen. And they were challenging me on, how do you know? Like, what factual evidence do you have to back this up? And what are you going to do if you fuck it all up and screw it up and make a mistake and burn everything to the ground? And in that moment, I could feel like getting angry inside. And I said, then I will own that. It'll be my experience. And I want to have the experience of making choices and either winning or losing, because that's my life and those are my experiences to learn from. That was the first time that I ever really felt the power of being full in the choice, where I was owning the idea that there could be a negative outcome. Not that I didn't know that before, but like, I was hyper conscious about this specific conversation without going into too many details. And I remember when the conversation was over, I felt really, really good about myself because I owned my position on it. Here was the thing about it that I think was so impactful. I felt my own power in that moment, in a very different way than I had ever experienced it before, because I was basically saying, I'm willing to lose. I'm completely willing to lose in order to figure out how to win. And if I lose, I'll figure it out. But I was also saying that my life is my life. I want to experience all sides of something. Like, I want to know the experiences of life, not just take this safe road that everybody says this is the road you've got to get on and do everything right, you know, and keep your insurance and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
I wanted to have a completely different experience, and I was willing to be wrong in order to have that experience.
Yeah.
To find out, because you could sit here and tell me the way things are all day long, and you may be right, you may not be right, but I'm never going to know. And you know, I've been asked this question in a lot of different ways over the years. I don't know what it is about this. I needed to know. I absolutely needed to know if what was stirring inside of me was a pipe dream, as my mother would call it, was a fantasy, or if there was something actually real about that. It was very, very important to me that I found out. Now, I think I understand why that is, but I don't want to get off your question. That would be the first time that I think that the totality of the power of choosing hit me like no other time in my life. And so it was quite a ways down the road before that actually happened.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, a lot of people out there, I'm not a person who makes choices quickly. You are. Like, I feel like you've trained yourself to just, you know what you want. Sometimes I don't know what I want. But every single person on the planet has the ability to make conscious choice. Like, you can make a choice right now. If you wanted to change something significant, you could change it right now. If you are miserable, you could make a change to be more happy in your life. Everybody has it, but not a lot of people exercise it. So it kind of brings me into my second question. You know, you talked in the episode about by choosing something different, we can affect the outcome in the moment. Like, it can be that sort of instantaneous.
Yeah.
When we're in that place of, you know, like I mentioned a moment ago, misery or just disappointment or constant frustration, how do we choose to focus on the positive or the potential of something better? Because for so many people, that's so damn hard.
I think it comes down to desire. Like, here's the thing. I don't think anybody changes this story without a desire to do something else. If you don't want to, you're not going to do it. Let's take some really horrific things, okay? The death of a child, okay? Somebody who loses a child. Somebody who's raped. Somebody who's murdered. Or somebody who has a relative or a loved one murdered. Somebody gets a horrific disease. AIDS, cancer, you know. Something debilitating, an accident, somebody disfigured, disabled from the war, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a job or a career, like all the horrific shit that happens to people every day in life. What people don't realize is that in the emotion of it, in the suffering of it, in the self-pity of it, we can change to view it differently. We can't change what happened, but we can say, here's this horrific thing. I'm going to see this different. I'm not going to see it as horrific. I'm going to see it as a blessing. Now, imagine you're sitting across from somebody who just lost a child, right? Are you going to say to them, you need to see this as a blessing? No, you're not, right? Because that would be a very insensitive thing to do. And there needs to be a period of time that goes by so that they can grieve properly over something like that. But at some point, if they want their life to go forward, they can either drag that story of pain and suffering through their entire life, and it could be this background narrative of there's before my child died and after my child died, or there could be before my child died and then the blessing that occurred after my child died. But in our mind, even when I say this, there's part of my mind that goes, how could that ever be a blessing? Right? You never lost a child. You don't have any right to say this. And it's true. I've never lost a child. Came close once, but I didn't, and it's a big difference. So, but here's what I know. I also know that we can prepare our mind to think the way that we want it to think when tragedies do show up. That means that you tell yourself, listen, I know tragedies are going to show up. I don't know what they're going to be in my life, but I know that I'm going to experience some at some degree because nobody gets through this life without a couple scars, right? When it happens, I'm going to allow myself to process through it, whatever I need, and then at some point, I'm going to turn and I'm going to find the blessing in that thing so that I can be empowered to move forward in my life. Most people aren't raised with that idea. So when they're in the tragedy itself, they become consumed by it. And the idea of change, of looking for a blessing in it, it seems insensitive, it seems impossible, it seems out of the realm of any kind of contemplation in my mind. But the truth is, we can, and the truth is, there is, but we have to be willing to do it. And I think that you've got two kinds of people. You've got a person who will never change. They're going to their grave, they're not going to change. The world is full of them, right? Then you have people that have gone through something, and they're at various different levels of suffering. At some point in time, they're going to hit a place where they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and then they're going to change. They're going to look for some light that leads them out of that dark path and back onto the road of their life again. And that's it.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. The bulk of this lesson you taught today was around story And everybody has a story. You have a story. I have a story. Everybody we come in contact with on this planet has a story. And when you're inside the story that you're telling yourself, everything seems real. But until you can hear another message, you're doomed to stay on that path moving forward. That is until you come across something that sort of wakes you up. What you just mentioned, you know, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. We don't know when that will be, and some people may choose to exercise that, and some may not, and just choose to stay where they're at. What do our stories do to keep us exactly where we are? Like, why are these stories... This is kind of a difficult question because everybody has a different story too. So let's think about it in terms of you. So you obviously made a choice early on that you were not going to do the same thing. You were going to make a change. So you had a story before you started to make your significant changes. Now you've rewritten that story. And you talked a little bit about the fork in the road moments at the beginning of this episode about how had you made a different choice, this would have happened. So I guess looking back at it, what did your story do? Maybe I rephrase this question. What did your story do to propel you to something more? Maybe you looked at that story and said, I didn't want it. Or maybe it was, I want to choose a new story.
The interesting thing about a story, good or bad, positive or negative, is that it hits the human need hierarchy in several areas. It keeps us safe because it's the same story over and over
again. Sure.
There's a level of certainty that comes with it because it is a way of feeling in control over something that happened where you probably didn't have a whole lot of control. There is a level of significance that we get by telling that story over and over again and being validated by other people around the story. So human beings have a tremendous need to be validated by other individuals. I can always find somebody to tell my gloom and doom story to, and they'll validate that story. So that gives me a good feeling on the inside. And then there's the whole idea of new experiences. In a way, every time I tell that story again to a different person, I'm refiring off the good chemicals that I get from having a new experience.
Right.
So it's actually a chemical reaction in the brain. Like if you're having a new experience, there's some kind of exhilaration that a person gets, and it can be terrible. It can be a terrible story that you're repeating, but we become addicted to them. We become psychologically, emotionally, chemically, physically addicted to telling the story over and over and over again. And it is a way for us not to move forward. That's what it does though.
And I also find that when people tell stories, they tend to, over time, the story is more and more embellished. I'm thinking about things that...
Oh, we change shit constantly.
Oh, totally. And we actually kind of take a situation that was either really uncomfortable and we really didn't like it, but we've made it our badge of honor. And then over time, we look back on it very fondly and, oh, we loved this moment. But in the moment, it sucked. It was the worst thing that ever happened. But we embellish it. And it's interesting that you brought up how every time you tell that story to someone else, you get that chemical reaction firing in your brain. And it's like, oh, this feels good again, even though that story you're telling maybe gloom and doom.
Yep.
And that's why I had written down in my notes about people who like to relive the good old days and they neglect the present. I wrote down, what are the dangers in always looking back? Because historically, I'm a looking back person. Steph can attest to this. Whenever I get around my family or get around my friends, it's those stories from high school or those stories from this and all these hijinks that we got into. We relive those old days, and she gets like, oh my God, it's so annoying. I hear the same stories, only things get different, a little bit more embellished each year. But what are the dangers in us looking back on those things? We can't change them. We can remember them. That's fine. But what are the dangers in that? Always looking back.
Well, you know, the indication for thousands of years is that you become what you look back on. So there's the whole story of Lot and his wife leaving Sodom and Gomorrah when God was destroying Sodom and Gomorrah and told them to leave and gave them very specific instructions not to look back. And Lot's wife looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. So it paralyzes us. When we look back at our life over and over again, especially negative things, it paralyzes us because it literally does have a physical effect on the mind and the body. And if we're not careful, we do get addicted to it. So anything that we get addicted to paralyzes us in that addiction. looking backwards on our life constantly does that. The only reason that we have the ability to reflect is so that we can grow, not to reminisce. It's not supposed to be thinking about the good old days. Karl Lagerfeld used to say they're old and they're not and they weren't very good. He said, so when you do that, you make yourself vintage. Like, don't look back. Like, you should not look back at your life very much at all. You should consistently be looking forward and allowing your mind to expand forward, not to expand backward. Because it's like we create constantly. So people will often think, and I've listened to people tell stories before, and all of a sudden I hear something new in the story that I didn't heard before. I've told stories before where I hear myself saying something new that I never said before in the story, and it may or may not be true. But what I've realized also about that is that it's the creative nature of ourself adding to things. So when we do that in the reverse, then we're either going to repeat the past or we're going to stay stuck in the emotion of that and not grow. If we do that going forward, we literally create our life anew, however it is that we want it. So it's good to have stories. It's good to understand them. It's good to extract the things that are useful for them. But it's really bad to keep looking back there.
Yeah, so flip it. So instead of looking back, look forward and start creating what you're doing and you have control over versus looking back and realizing you can't change anything about those situations.
Here's the other thing, Brandon. If I'm constantly looking back, ask yourself the question, why? What the fuck is so miserable about today that you got to spend your day talking about what happened 10 years ago?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you really enjoying now, like right in this moment? It's interesting because I've thought about this for a long, long time, and I've listened to people that do it very well. I'm getting better at it, but I didn't used to do it very well. But Lagerfeld was somebody that I was very impressed by when it came to this. He would live through something and be fully in it and enjoy that moment, but then drop it. It's dead to him, and he's always looking to live in the next moment that's his life. And I've watched reporters over the years try to pin him down into the past. Very little information will he spend talking about the past. He talks about where he's going and what he's doing. And, of course, we lost him. I think it was earlier this year. But he lived a very, very full and productive life all the way up to the day he died. He was creating constantly. But he didn't do that by looking back. He only did it by being in the now and looking in the direction that he was going. He was a very, like, one of the things about him, so let me give you an idea how this frees up your mind. The guy was a fashion designer for three companies for, 50 years, something like that. Every day he would get up and create new clothes, new runway sets, new jewelry, new every day, every morning he would do that. And somebody said, how do you prepare to do that? And he was like, I don't know where it comes from. It's not like I go to bed thinking about making dresses. He said, but I stay very much in now, in what's going on. I don't get hung up in the fashions of the days of old and what was good then. He's like, I have those in my memory for structural purposes, things to reflect back on from a creative a bit, but I don't spend any time thinking about the past. So every day when I wake up, my mind is only focused on what can come through me in the moment. So that's what living in the now is. Wow. And then enjoying that to the very best of your ability. And it's a great way to live. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't know, I haven't not studied Lagerfeld like you did, but I'm sure that many creatives you've come across in your study are like that. They're always looking forward to the next thing. Maybe some of them are miserable in the moment and they're just trying to chase that feeling, chase that high, chase that dream looking ahead. But it sounds like Lagerfeld was just one of those situations who was like, you know what? I have no attachment. That happened. Great. Moving on to the next. And that was his power. That was his gift. And by being an open channel like that and just being able to take all that information in, he was able to create many, many, many things every day of his life.
Yeah, well, we can chase it in either direction. Which one's going to be more productive?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like I was saying the other day, growth is an urge It's always pulling us forward. So, you know, it's either that or we stay in the. Here's the thing. You'll never find anybody who dwells in the past that has a productive, fulfilling, or happy life. I've just never seen it.
Right. It's probably not possible. I love that you brought that up. It like hit me when you said that a moment ago about how, you know, those who dwell in the past must be having a miserable existence in the present. Like if you're constantly living in the past, you are not enjoying this very moment right now. And the only moment you're guaranteed is this moment right here, right now. We talk about that a lot on here.
Yep.
Well, in doing some mini research on the fly for this episode, I came across a mountain of information on Unstuck. You just type in get unstuck on Google and it comes up with thousands and thousands and thousands of hits. There's even a quiz I found on Oprah.com of all places on how to get unstuck. In short, everyone seems to have a formula or a roadmap to get there, to get away from being stuck. So if a person out there right now listening is feeling stuck, and most people probably can identify with that with regards to something in their life. It may be big, it may be small. Being unstuck doesn't have to be something monumental. It can be something small too that you're struggling with, like a decision. Where would you say would be a good place for them to start to break that unstuck cycle?
Dream about something. Set a new goal. You need something to look forward to, right? We're going into the holiday season here. For much of the world. And here's a very interesting little exercise that you can do. If you're going to get together with family and you're going to sit down and have Thanksgiving or Hanukkah or Christmas dinner, celebration, whatever, and really you can do this with any time you gather with those individuals, but it's very interesting around this time of the year. Sit down and just pay attention to how much of the conversation is about the past versus how much of the conversation is positively about now and the future, like what's exciting going on in people's lives. When I used to do this when I was younger, when my kids were really little, we would go to my mother's house and there would be a bunch of people over. The conversation was always about the past, or it was about how terrible everything is right now. Like, what illness do they have? What new doctor thing did they find out? How does their work suck? You know,
shit talking other people.
You shit talking other people. So the anything that was about now sucked, and the only good reflections they had were false memories of the past that they would talk about. And you literally, I remember saying to my wife one time, I said, is it just me or could we have left dinner at the exact same time last year, come back a year later and been in the exact same conversation? She said, it's not just you. She said, it's the same fucking conversation every year about the same things and nothing, absolutely nothing positive that's new. Nothing. Right. And when I started to change, I would start to bring in things that were positive in my life, and the conversation would be changed very quickly.
Sure.
Nobody wanted to hear it.
Nope. It's so much more comfortable to be miserable, just to bitch and moan about everything that's come your way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an awareness that, I mean, you taught us this years ago, and I approach holidays much differently because it sounded like you were hanging out at my house when I was growing up.
Right.
It's very similar. You and I have very similar backgrounds. And I know that, you know, it's difficult to deal with sometimes. It's difficult to hear. But at the same time, when you are aware that that is going on, you approach these environments differently. And I don't speak up and say, you know, you guys are a bunch of assholes, because I'm not going to change the way they think. Like you said, they're going to have the same conversation next year and the year after that. I just put myself in a really protective bubble, and I do my very best to stay away from as much negativity as possible. Don't agree with it. None of that shaking my head, and I just don't acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And try to change the conversation, make a game out of it, and then see where it goes. The beauty of it is we spend our Thanksgivings primarily with, you know, our team as of now, and everybody's always forward thinking. Everybody's positive. There's not a lot of complaining about this, that, and the other, because we are doing our very best to live present and project into what's going to be in the future.
Absolutely. So, very different.
It is. Well, one of the last things you said on this episode, and I think we'll walk out with this one, is work your way into something spectacular. That is so beautiful.
That's what we're here to do.
We absolutely
every one
are.
Of us.
Yeah. And everybody out there. So today that's listening, work your way into something spectacular and see where it goes, because the other side of that is absolutely beautiful. All right. Thanks for coming inside, David.
You got it. Later, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.